We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation from the Heart to Heart 2014 Women's Christmas Luncheon called The Wonders of His Love with speaker Ingalill Guzik. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please call 714-891-9495 or visit our website at www.refugefamily.com. Now here's Ingalill.
Unlike Elizabeth, who is known to us all as a rather extraordinary woman, Ingalill is just like you and me. Ingalill's just like you and me. So I'll give you some examples of how she's just like you and me. So Ingalill is the wife of David Guzik, and she and David, he's a pastor, she and David over the years have served many, many churches all over the world. They have planted churches all over the world, just like you and me, right? In addition to being a mother to three and proud grandmother to Serena, who is 2.5 years old, Ingalill has served on the Mercy Ship in Congo, just like you and me, right? She is a career woman, like many of us. She has an academic background in dentistry, and recently is just back from Nepal, where she served as what she calls herself a third world dentist. She said in the period that she was in Nepal, she extracted 85 teeth and 75 fillings, just like you and me, just like you and me. An extraordinary woman, obviously, but a child of God, just like you and me. But what impresses me about Ingalill is she is a servant of God. She commented that when she was in Nepal, she certainly wasn't there because she loves living in tents and worrying about elephants and malaria and things like that. But she was there because she is a servant and she responds to the wonder of his love. And won't you please join me in welcoming her as Ingalill Guzik tells us about the wonders of his love.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Oh my goodness. What a beautiful morning. We got to shop. We got to eat. We didn't have to cook, and only few of us have to clean up. I think that is amazing. I bought myself a necklace that matches my outfit. I have a full bag of stuff to take home. We're going to go and have a little bit of vacation next week in New York, so I bought myself a new hat. And thank you, ladies, for making this room so beautiful for us. I am just amazed at the talent in this room. I think it's like Pinterest on steroids. That's all I can say. It is so amazing. I couldn't stop taking pictures. My friend Sue and I were like, look at this, look at that, taking pictures. So now we're going to have to make a whole album of Refuge Chapel Christmas tables. But I am here because your amazing and wonderful pastor's wife invited me, Joy. She's the real deal. You have no idea what else is maybe out there, but she is the real deal. Love her, love her, love her, because she loves you. That is so evident in everything that she does. But we just had our women's celebration up in Santa Barbara, where my husband pastors. We've only been there for 4 years. We had our Advent celebration on Thursday. I have to tell you the funniest thing that happened. And I can only tell you because I couldn't tell them at my church because that would embarrass the person that it happened to. So just like you. I am just like you. I think I'm just like you. I feel like I'm just like you. But there are people that think, oh, well, you do this and you do this and you're like extraordinary. I don't feel I'm extraordinary. I feel I serve an extraordinary God. But there are people that for some reason they want to put you, you know, up here on a pedestal. And I said, no, I'm down here with you. I want to do the tables and clean and cook and do all that. And I get to do that at my own church. So this is what happens. I'm in the lobby of our church. A lady, two ladies walk in. One lady is introducing her friend to me. Oh, Ingle, do you know, let's call her Sally, in case you come visit our church. Do you know Sally? And I said, you know, we've seen each other, but I haven't officially met. So we do the greeting. And she says, oh, you're Pastor David's wife. Oh, it's so nice to finally meet you and this and that. And we're chit-chatting. All of a sudden, she goes, oh. And she looks down and her slip had fallen down around her ankles. She looks up at me. I didn't know if I should laugh or ignore it, but you can't not laugh. And I'm just like, her black slip is just wrapped around her ankles. And I look at the friend who introduced her to me. She starts snickering, and then we all started laughing about the slip that had fallen down, but that wasn't it. Then she tells me that's happened before to her. And I said, you know what? I think you're beyond slips. Just skip the slip altogether. Let's just do away with slips. I couldn't wait to share that with you. And I told her, I said, I might have to share this story with some ladies in a couple days. She said, but don't tell them my name. I said, I promise I won't tell them your name. But just, this is such a amazing time of year. We do so much as women, and we get really stressed out over little things. Let's try this year to not do the same mistakes that we did last year. I know there's so much busyness, and I had a friend that was visiting me, and she says, this is your purse? No, this is a carry-on, you know, because everything goes into your purse. You're doing this, and you got the coupons, and you got to go here, and you got the list, and you all that. And don't wear your purse on your shoulders, ladies. That's going to ruin you for after Christmas. Just carry it like a carry-on and say, this is my carry-on for the season. Because there's so much going on at this time of year, but you have taken the time out to come here. And I appreciate that. And I know that Joy appreciates that, because in her heart is really that you would connect with God this Christmas season, because that's really what it's all about. We get so busy running here and doing this and planning this. I think it could say on all of our tombstones, hurried, worried, and buried. And I don't think there's anywhere in the world that they have a monument to busyness. Mount Rushmore. I'm like, are you kidding me? We in America, that's our motto. Mount Rushmore. Let's rush more to do this. Let's rush more to do that. But now, ladies, you have nothing to do for the next 30, 40 minutes. Well, I'm going to share my heart with you, and I'm going to try to unfold the story of Christmas. You have already heard it through each of the carols. But I am going to unpack it and unfold it to you. And I'm just going to pray, and I have been praying, that you would experience it afresh. You know Jesus came. You know there was a manger. You know that this is what it's about. So to hear it fresh for the first time is going to take a little bit of effort on your part. My granddaughter, who's 2.5, we have been talking, and I've been sharing little Bible stories with her about baby Jesus. And Mary's holding baby Jesus, and here's baby Jesus. So what happens when I put out the nativity? I have a nativity scene from when I was, I think, 10 years old. My grandmother gave it to me. And then we have the Fisher-Price, the plastic one that can be thrown around. So she grabs the little baby Jesus, comes running to me, holding it up, and I'm like, here it is. And she goes, baby Moses. And I'm like, No, no. And you know, she's so excited, so how are you going to correct her? I'm like, let's call him Baby Jesus, you know? It's Baby Jesus, and she knows it's the focal point, but she gets a little bit confused. And I think we're just like her at times. We get a little bit confused. What is it all about? Is it about this or is it about this? So I want to just bring it down. I just want to funnel it down today for you so that you have this gift to take away with you amongst all the other wonderful things that you have been given today, to take away a fresh new, not new, but just fresh look. So would you pray with me as I get into my message? Heavenly Father, we are excited to be in this place right now. We have so many other things to do, but right now, all we have is to give you, Holy Spirit, our full attention. So I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would come into this room, that you would fill this room to overflowing with yourself, that there would not be one woman in this room that wouldn't be affected by your presence. Your presence is the most important presence here right now. So, Lord, I am completely reliant, submitted, yielded to you, that you would do what only you can do, and that is to touch the heart of every woman here. Use me, Lord, and speak through me. But, Lord, do the work that only you can do. You are the focal point right now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I am going to look at my notes, ladies, because there's so many things that God impressed upon my heart that I don't want to miss it. And this is a time of year that is filled with so much emotion. And there might be many of you that have difficult memories attached to Christmas or around Christmas. And I would like to say, let's create a new memory here today, a good one that you connect with on a spiritual level, on a level that will hopefully stay with you throughout the Christmas season and into the new year. So when Joy said the theme of today is the wonder of his love, I had no idea. We don't use that word wonder very often in our normal language. We might do it, I wonder about this, but that's not the wonder we're talking about. So I was completely in the dark. So I immediately went to my dictionary or where it speaks about in the word. And do you know that that word wonder has so much connected to just Christmas? Because Christmas is where the wonder of his love was displayed. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, because Christmas didn't start with Jesus in Nazareth, with Mary and the announcement, or Jesus in Bethlehem. It started way before even the world was formed. And this is what it says: though he was God, he did not demand to cling to his rights as God. He made himself of nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. He, in heaven, in eternity past, designed Christmas for us. Designed it so that we would connect with it and understand that it was to be about love, and that we would be in wonder, in awe of his love and what he did and how he designed it, how he set it out in eternity past, that it didn't matter to him that he would have to leave heaven, that it was worth coming down for you and I. So though he was God, he did not demand to cling to his rights as God. He came in human form. Now, many of you might say, well, that sounds a little kind of sci-fi, you know, somebody coming from a totally different place in human form. I mean, how do you just accept that as fact? How do you just say that you believe in that? Well, ladies, let me tell you, a few weeks ago, we were in Israel. We were in the place where he sat with his disciples. We were at the place where the pool of Bethesda, where Jesus healed the paralyzed man. We were at these places. Jesus is a real person in history, just like any other person in history. He is real, and there have been chronicles of him. There have been writings about him. There is nothing not real about God. But what you and I need to realize about what God did is that he came from heaven to earth and then he went back there. That's what you and I have to believe. But then we have to, surrounding all that, we have to say, why? For what? For whom? And we come to that place where we say, what was his mission? Why did he even come? Why did he even leave heaven? What was the plan that he had to fulfill? What was the purpose that he had to demonstrate? And who did he have in mind? So as we look at this, the first description of wonder is amazed. That's the first description that it is amazed. Is amazed. The second one is admiration, and the third one is awe. So we have amazed, admiration, and awe. That is a state of mind for you and I to grab a hold of. As women, as believers, as non-believers, you can be amazed at what God did, even though you don't believe it. You can be in awe of what he designed to do and not believe it. But I pray that today that there'll be some of you that completely do a 180 and say, I used to not believe, but now I do believe. Because 2,000 years ago is when the earthly journey started for Jesus. And this is exactly what we heard from Elizabeth as she came by. She said that the angel told Mary that she would become pregnant and have a son. Now Elizabeth had to hear it from her husband, but Mary heard it from an angel. This is what he says. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And he will be very great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. How would you like that to be told to you? To be in wonder, to be amazed, and to be in awe. And I think after the shock of Mary, you're what? Run that by me again. What's going on here? After all that took place. And we know that took place because the angel had to say, with God, all things are possible. Just chill, Mary. Just relax. It's going to be okay. Well, how do you just have that kind of faith that it's going to be okay? Well, when an angel appears to you and it says, don't be afraid, I bring you good news, and then that's the good news, then you have to say, okay, God, it's all about you and it's not about me. What is impossible for me is going to be possible with you. So the plan to fulfill, the plan that the angel said was to encompass greatness. My son, this Mary, is going to be great. And there will be thrones and there will be rulings and there will be reigning forever. What does this all mean? That was amazing to her. How was this all going to fit together? Matthew's gospel says this, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God in heaven was going to come to be with us. That is amazing. That should strike awe in any one of us. How could it possibly be that Mary could perceive what kind of king Jesus would be? But the angel said he would be a king. How could she possibly perceive that the crown as king that he would wear would be one of thorns? He didn't tell her that. How could she possibly imagine that Jesus, to reign on his throne, would have to go through the cross first and die on a cross? She couldn't. This was all in the part that God would fulfill, all in his plan. Part of that plan was to come to us first. The plan to fulfill was to come to earth first, and he did that. Secondly, the purpose for which he was to demonstrate, that is how you and I, let's look at the wonder of that birth, because that to us is the pivotal point, is that he chose to come as a little baby. That should be amazing to us, because some of you are mothers, some of you are yet to be mothers, all of you have been a baby at once, and to be helpless as a child for God to say, I am going to leave the comforts of heaven and I'm going to come to earth as a helpless child. Mary and Joseph, off they go. No kayak.com to make reservations. So obviously they end up in a city and have no reservations. There's no more room for them. So they settle for the stable and they get there and that's where she gives birth. Now, I don't know if any one of us would sign up for that. If the angel said, well, let me give you the full plan. Let me give you the full details of this. She said, would say, check, please, I'm out. You know, choose someone else highly favored. But Mary accepted. And she says, okay, all right, I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to happen. I don't know how it's all going to work out. But somebody does. The plan that God had to fulfill. So once Jesus is born, this is when Zacharias and Elizabeth come in, because this continues. It's almost like, imagine this. God the Father in heaven is going to send Jesus, but he's so excited about this plan. He's so excited about the purpose for which Jesus is going to come that he can't hold it in. He has to use Zacharias to prophesy what this is all about. Just kind of like the preview, the foretelling. So this is what, listen up, because if you can hear what the purpose of God's plan is, listen for it. Luke 1, praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited his people and redeemed them. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through the holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors in remembering his sacred covenant with them, the covenant he gave our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so that we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness forever. And you, my little son, and this is where he talks about his own son, John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way of the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of sins. Did you catch the purpose? Did you catch the thought in God's plan ahead of time that we would be saved from our enemies, that we would have forgiveness of sins? This is the mission that was accomplished in his purpose. Now, the God whom they knew just from writings would be in their very midst, would be with them. Do you get that? Do you get that? What if you and I on the news today heard there has been an announcement in Tokyo, let's not pick American city, that God has said he's going to send the Savior to the whole world and he's going to walk among us and he's going to offer us a variety of opportunities for us to choose from. It would be hard for a lot of people to believe that. It would be hard for a lot of people to be in amazement, but you and I would say, bring it on. You and I would say, let's get this show on the road. Let's see what God has for us next. And do you know, ladies, there will come a time, as Jesus came once, he will come again. Be ready. But that's not all. There was an admirable plan to accomplish so much with one birth. But that was a unique birth, a birth of a rescuer, a savior, a deliverer, one whose purpose could free you and me from our enemies, from our slavery to sin, from our slavery to death, and from this world system. That good news is still in effect. That good news is still out there for people to respond to. That didn't just happen 2,000 years ago. That is an open-ended offer. But that's not all. There's more. Because in Isaiah it says this, ladies, listen to this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, God, you don't think like we do, we get that. But what does that mean in the purpose and plan and the mission that you had to accomplish? Why are your thoughts not our thoughts? Because he has you and I in his thoughts. He is thinking about you and me and the plan that he has to fulfill. He is thinking of our eternal destiny. That's what he has in mind. So few of us spend time thinking about that. It's all about the here and the now. But ladies, we are eternal beings. We are eternal. It just depends on you where eternity will be spent. Right here. We're all right here, right now. But we do not know when this is all finished and done. Only God does. So when you are ready and those questions are answered and you know your eternal destiny, then your thoughts can be about God. But right now, in eternity past, as this scene unfolds, he has you in mind. He has me in mind. He has these two sweet young granddaughters of Kim in mind. He has the oldest person in the room in mind when he does this. So he has you in mind. This is the more, because this is what he says in Hebrews, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy of knowing that you would choose him. The joy of knowing that what he did for you on the cross would give you eternal life, made him endure what he endured, made him walk the walk that God had chosen for him. Are you in wonder of his love yet? Do you understand what he has done? Do you understand the great lengths that he went to in every little detail to demonstrate the wonder of his love for you and for me? This takes some time to process, ladies. We have days ahead to process what God has done for us in eternity past. Your destiny was in the balances. You see, God the Father in Colossians says this, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves, in whom we, that's you, that's me, have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In him, in Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created in and through him. Does it matter if you have a relationship with Jesus? Does it matter in all of eternity that you have a relationship with Jesus? Yes, it does. I don't think I need to be the one to tell you that. I think you are here and you walked in through the doors of a church and you knew you were going to hear about God. You knew that you would be stirred in your heart to think about God. But I want to challenge you to go even further. Make today a true and deep and heartfelt commitment to make your entire life about God. Everything. It's possible. It's possible to set yourself aside and say, I do want to live for you. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that's all going to come about. But I can be a Mary and I can say, are you kidding me? But okay, with God all things are possible. I'm going to choose not to be afraid of what God has for me in my life. I want you to leave here to be in awe and wonder of his love. I can't do that. Only he can do that. I can maybe influence you today. I can maybe stir you up a little bit, be a little bit excited about this, use some emphatic words to draw you in that direction. But I can't make you. I can't choose it for you. There are some synonyms for wonder. Those synonyms are surprise, marvel, and astonished. I think those are Christmas words. I think surprise, marvel, and astonished should be on the very forefront of all of our minds at Christmas time. I want to experience Christmas afresh. I want to sit in my couch and look at my Christmas tree and not think, oh, what a great job I did, but that my Savior chose to die on a tree. That all the glitter and all the tinsel and all the beauty of Christmas is nothing in comparison to the glory and wonder of His love and what will be in eternity future. Jesus exploded onto the world scene in a very quiet way. When people needed a Savior more than anything, a Messiah that could set things right. They were an occupied people. He could overthrow the system and He could gain back lost land. But, I love the buts in the Bible and I love the buts in our life. But God. But God had something else in mind. And when He put that plan and purpose into the life of Jesus, it was to set the heart of man free. It was not to set the people free. It was to set the heart of man free and to ransom the heart and to rescue us from self-destruction. That's what He came to do. To institute a new system, not through this world system, but through the Spirit of God to be with us. See, ladies, what started at Christmas lives in and through you and me throughout the year, throughout our lives. And I hope that even in the middle of summer that you can play a Christmas song in your car and not think it's strange, because it's the gospel. That you can be in awe and wonder in April of God's love for you. See, what was in the heart of man, what they wanted God to do was slightly different from what God, I just say slightly, slightly different from what God had in mind. Ladies, this is revolutionary. This is the good news. This is the glad tidings. Let's continue. Let me continue on this word, wonder. A description, if it's an adjective, this is what happens. There is an excitement. We are excited about it. We are in a state of admiration and an amazing way to look at what God has done. See, ladies, to look at that from the place from beginning to end, we know the whole story, right? We know how it began and we know how it's going to end. But think of the men and women in Jesus' day, what they must have thought. Those disciples, when Jesus grew up and started His earthly ministry, what they must have thought of, what they must have been thinking. Now, tell us again what you're here to do, and why are we wandering around, and what's this all about? They did not know their need for a Savior. They did not know that they needed their sins forgiven. But you and I do. You and I know how self-destructive we can be. You and I know how much we rely upon ourselves, and we need to rely upon God. God designed us to be able to give up. See, ladies, you and I have a problem with control. Well, I do. I'll admit it. I want to know the details, and I want to know that there's surety, and I want to know that it's going to be okay, and I want to know that all things are going to work out. Well, that kind of knowledge is only reserved for God. It's just for you to accept. Ladies, get over it. Get over the fact that you are not supposed to be in control. However much you think you are capable, however much you think you can do it, God has a greater plan than you do for your life. He came as a Savior. Have you accepted Him as Savior? He came as a Redeemer. Have you been redeemed? He came as the one to forgive your sins. Have your sins been forgiven? Jesus spent his earthly ministry talking to the disciples, and I'm going to finish very soon. He gave them a series of unless statements in his teachings. And this might be for some of you who have walked with him for a while. This might be just for those of you who know Jesus more personally and have accepted him. But this is what he said to his disciples. This is what he says to you and I still today. This is what he says in Matthew. I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples are like, what? Say that one more time. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will not enter the... So what you're saying is we have to be perfect, Jesus? And he says, yes. But you can't be. So I've made a different way. Because that is the only way to enter into heaven is if your righteousness is complete and full. The only way it can be that is if you accept my righteousness for your unrighteousness. So they're starting to get it. Then Jesus says some other place, he says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom unless he is born again. They're like, born again? Born again? How does that even work? Well, he explains to them. But that's your way to heaven. Then he says later on, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and spirit. You're like, wait a minute, we did the born again thing, now you got the spirit? And he says, yes, you allow my Holy Spirit to come into your life and lead and guide you. So as the disciples are putting together two and two and putting the picture together, they are starting to get it. We need Jesus. We need the love that he has offered. The last thing that he says, or one of the last things he says, I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And the disciples are like, wait a minute, now Jesus, we don't get this. Now who's the seed and who's does the dying? And Jesus explains, you die to self. And until you die to self, then your life can be a blessing to others. This is big stuff. This is amazing stuff. This is what I said in the beginning. You have to connect with not only the historical person of Jesus, but his mission and what he came here to do. So the disciples are getting it. Are you getting it? So let's finish this train of thought. Then Jesus, last thing, because this is where the disciples are going to marvel. I hope you do too. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. And I have come as a light into the world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now we get it. Now the disciples get it, at least for the moment. I hope that you understand this. I hope that you marvel and are in awe and wonder of the love that Jesus demonstrated when he said, I have come into the world not to be served, but to serve. And he has served up for you an amazing, wonderful platter of redemption, of forgiveness, of restoration, of being in right standing with God the Father who sent him. This is what he gave to you and I at Christmas time. Excited, astonished, marveling. That's where the disciples were when Jesus left on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now what do we do? Now he's gone. Now what do we do? And then they remembered, okay, we got to wait for something. We got to wait for the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's do that. See, God is never without a plan. He is never without a purpose. He will always tell you the next thing to do. He doesn't always give you the full agenda. But if you stay close to Him, He will tell you what the next thing is. This is, ladies, and hear me out on this, this is the hope that you and I have. This is the Christmas message, that Jesus entered the world amidst complicated emotions, complicated situations and challenges, to unfold His plan of redemption. That is the wonder of His love. There is nothing else. There's no other reason. There's no other purpose and plan that He had than to give you the most amazing gift ever, Himself. So you and I have to respond to that. You and I have to do something about this. So this is where you get to be in control. This is where you get to decide. This could be the very day, ladies, where Christmas could bring on a whole new meaning for you, where this Christmas can actually become real to you. And I don't know, I know that at our church, we had lots of family and friends that came to our event. There had lots of people that invited their coworkers and their neighbors. And I know that in a group this size, there is undoubtedly somebody here that might have never, ever encountered this decision. It's a very natural decision. It's a very, very logical place to kind of end our story here. But I'm going to end with reminding you once again, and listen to these phrases, because who is the greatest giver at Christmas, if not Jesus? Jesus left heaven. He gave that up for us. That was wondrous love. He came to earth. He gave up the comforts of heaven. He came as a child, the helpless state of infancy and childhood. He became a servant, no praise, no adoration of man, gave up the worship of the glory of heaven. That's wondrous love. He lived amongst us. He gave up His home to not have a home at all. No bed, no comfy pillow, no home. He humbled Himself to be accused as a criminal. He was beaten and He was tried as that criminal and sentenced to death. He suffered. He gave way for that experience so that we didn't have to experience that pain. He died knowing well that that temporary separation from God the Father would pay the price for our sins. He forgave, even though we weren't even asking for forgiveness, but He knew we would need to one day. He rose so that death would not have power over any single one of you. Are you in awe and wonder yet of His love? Let me wrap this up. He gave and gave and gave, and He still gives. I hope and pray that you're receiving. I hope and pray that the love that He has demonstrated is a love that you have received, that you enjoy, that you relish in, that you are in awe and wonder of. Hopefully, at least one moment of every day. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for coming to fight for me. Thank you for coming to rescue me. That's the relationship. That's what it's all about, ladies. And I look out over your faces, and I think I've pretty much seen every single one of your faces as I've been standing up here. This is real. This is life. I'm not a speaker. I'm one of you, and I'm a friend of your pastor's wife. I'm a sister in Christ, and I might be a stranger to many of you, but we have the common ground that says, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we will spend eternity together. This is where you, like I said before, this is where you get to be in control of that destiny. You get to choose the wonders of his love. God himself visited earth 2,000 years ago, but he is here in this room by his presence of the Holy Spirit, and he's tugging on your heart, and he's waiting. And I believe, this is just my belief, I believe that at a moment like this, the very angels in heaven are holding their breath and they're wondering, is she going to give her life to Jesus today? Is she going to surrender? Is she going to let go and let God be in control? I believe, I really truly believe that the angels look in awe and wonder. And they say, why don't they all get it? Why don't they all get and understand what he did? He left us to go to them. And they don't understand that love. And they're waiting and wondering, is today your day? Where Christmas becomes real. Where Christmas becomes Christmas. Where Christ enters into your life. Ladies, this is a holy moment. And I'm going to pray and close out the message. And then I'm going to have you think for a moment. Because I don't want, I'm an emotional person. I cry at all the Hallmark commercials. I cry at all the little puppies and kitties. But ladies, this is a time where you get to decide. I am not going to coerce you. I'm not going to manipulate you. My tears are my awe and wonder of what Jesus did for me. Sorry. But I am going to offer you that option this morning before I close. Because this morning means nothing without the presence of God here in our midst and for us to respond to him. You might have spent the whole year walking away from God and taking back the reins and doing things your way, and you're tired of that. This, ladies, is the moment where you turn that around and say, I'm sorry. I've been stubborn. I've been selfish, and I've been self-focused, and I want to turn back to you, and I want you to have my whole life again. You see, God knew that you would be here today. God had this appointment with you today, and he knows that I would bring you to this place where you would get to turn back to him or turn to him for the first time. So let me pray for you. Let me close this in prayer. And then when I'm finished closing in prayer, I'm going to ask you a simple question again. So join me and close your eyes. Just take a deep breath. Lord Jesus, you came to earth to demonstrate your wondrous love. And I am in awe. I am astounded. I admire your plan. I know that you did it for me. And I am so grateful, and I am so amazed, and I'm so in awe of that love. I don't understand all of it. Of course I don't, God, but I understand that you went to great lengths to demonstrate your wondrous love for us. So thank you for each and every woman here in this room. Thank you for each family she represents and each sphere of influence that she has. Lord, take a hold of her life, every single one of us, and just wrap us in your loving, wondrous arms this Christmas. Hold on to us. We have a way of straying and wiggling away from you. So, Lord, I just pray a blessing. I pray a spiritual covering over my sisters here at Refuge Chapel and their friends and invited guests. I pray that Christmas would be amazing and wondrous to them this year. Pray that they would take time out to reflect on you and your wondrous love. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending us your Son Jesus. Amen. So ladies, I would like to now, just in a very moment, very natural moment, I am going to lead those of you who want to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Just be still for a moment. And if that is you, you don't need to stand up. You don't need to raise your hand. This is between you and God in heaven. If that is you, would you pray this prayer after me as I pray it? Lord Jesus, I've done life my way, and now I want to do it your way. I want to give you my life. I don't know what that all means, but I know that you're tugging at my heart. I want to say thank you for coming to earth for me. Thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. Forgive me my sins. Live your life through me. And let my Christmas have a whole new meaning this year. In Jesus' name, amen. All I ask is that if you were invited or brought here by a friend, that you tell her that you prayed that prayer. And ladies, if you recommit your ways to God, He is so ready to take back the reins. He is so ready to say, come on, let's go. Let's do it my way. I want to wish you from the very depths of my heart the sweetest, most wonderful, stress-free, Merry with an A, Christmas. And enjoy what God has for you. And thank you for letting me come and share with you. Thank you for letting me be a part of this. Thank you, Joy, for loving on me and taking such good care of me and my friend. And I just pray that this marks a new memory for you in Christmases, that this becomes the Christmas where you changed and went in a different direction completely. I am so grateful that we are part of the same family, because I won't get to say hi to all of you. I have a Christmas party at my house at 6 in Santa Barbara with 55 people, which is okay. It's okay, because I can enjoy the ride. It will take the time it takes. I will relax. I won't let stress get to me and the traffic get to me. I will have a wonderful friend to have conversations with, and what happens, happens. That's okay. Let's not major on the minors, ladies. And I do want to say thank you to every single hostess who made this room as beautiful as it is. So I'm going to leave. God bless you. Love you.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.